This week and next week, we're looking at the beginning of John chapter 1. And I'm guessing that for most of us, this will be a very familiar passage. Perhaps more commonly heard during this season of Advent and Christmas, but also throughout the year. John, verse 6, chapter 1. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a human's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." These are words that speak of two characters, the Word and the witness. First of all, there is the Word that spoke the world into being, the Word that was sent from God and yet also was God, the Word that came to overcome all that is not of God, and the Word within whom is life, life that is the light to all mankind. And then there is the witness. And who is he? He is a man named John, a man sent from God, but was not God. The text clearly tells us that he was not the light. And John tells us, Jesus tells us later in John that John was a lamp that burned and gave light, but he was not the light. And what was he sent to do? John was sent to testify to the light. Last week, as part of my college duties, I was sent to a small church in Wales, near Cardiff. And I missed being here with you, as you shared in the all-age service on the theme of Isaiah, "A light has dawned." And we've heard those verses this morning, verses that I spoke on last week, that people walk in darkness have seen a great light, and on those in the land of deep darkness a light has dawned. And we explored last week the call for us to be people of light, people who demonstrate God by the way that they live. And I encourage people to let the lights of Christmas, all the twinkly lights that are appearing on people's houses and in shops and wherever they go, to let those lights be inspiration to us, that we are called to be people of light in a dark world. And I also talked about the prophetic line that threads its way through Scripture that tells us of the Messiah to come. And this morning we encounter John in the prophetic line. John is one who was sent by God. He was chosen to be God's mouthpiece, to speak forth God's words. And in Matthew, at the beginning of Matthew, it says this. "In those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" John links the Old and the New Testament. He is a pivotal person in a long line of people who pointed to the coming Messiah. But John didn't just point to Christ, like the prophets of old, who spoke forth into what would happen many years ahead of them. John also knew the Messiah. John was sent by God to point to the one who is the light. He was a first-person witness to the Messiah. And even perhaps you could say he was a witness before either of them were even born. Because when Elizabeth and Mary met for the first time, he leapt in Elizabeth's womb. So he recognised something of Jesus, something of the nature of Jesus, even at that stage, because God is such a wonderful God, he can even do that. Thinking about the word witness, what comes to mind? How about someone who gives evidence because they were there when an accident happened or perhaps when a crime took place? What about a witness at a wedding? Or perhaps people who sign a will or a legal document? I guess a witness is someone who is present, who is seeing what goes on, who gives testimony and attests the genuineness of something. And that was John's task. He was set apart for God's service, to make a people prepared to meet God. And he was obedient to God in fulfilling his calling. Luke 1:17 tells us he was to go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And it's what the angel who spoke to his father Zechariah about his son. He was born exactly as the angel had said, and he grew strong in spirit and began preaching. His task was to announce the coming Saviour, to begin to call people to repentance and faith. So he was to encourage people to turn from their sins and to turn back to God. But to turn to a God who was no longer far and distant, no longer just residing in a temple, but God incarnate, God in human form, God with us, as Jesus, fully man yet fully God. And this is who John was witness to. For the truth of the incarnation is that the Word became flesh. But what does John mean by the Word? I don't know if you've ever taken time to think about it, but doing a bit of research, I discovered that it's a term used by theologians and philosophers, both Jews and Greeks. And in Hebrew scripture, the Word was seen as an agent of creation. In Psalm 36, it says, "By the word of the Lord, then the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." And the Word was the source of God's message to his people through the prophets. And it was the source of God's law, his standard of holiness. Psalm 119 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Word in Hebrew thought was an expression for God. So John speaks of Jesus, a human being he knew and loved, but at the same time the creator of the universe. He was the ultimate revelation of God in front of them, the one in whom all things hold together. Colossians 1, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." But there was also a bit of a problem with Jesus being called the Word. For to Jewish readers, the word of God was blasphemous, and to Greek readers, the word of become flesh was unthinkable. So John presents a new understanding of the word. Jesus was the gospel. He was the good news. And so John testifies to that good news. The good news that Jesus came to be born, to live, to die, and to rise again, that we might live. But that was John's prophetic call to the people of, around the time of Jesus. What does that mean for us today? I guess we could say we're not the light any more than John was the light. We are merely reflecting the light of God. Perhaps it could be suggested we are light bearers, carriers of the Holy Spirit, who, if we've committed our lives to him and acknowledge him as our Lord and Saviour, comes to reside in our hearts. For Jesus is the true light. And as I was preparing, I had come to mind the image from the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony, of that sort of image in the sort of the dark evening. It's a night that's kind of emblazoned on my memory, because it was Bex's 18th. And it was a family issue the night before that caused that moment to be seared in my head. So what I remember was watching the screen with, I think it was Stephen Redgrave, with holding the golden torch. And coming through the darkness, those flames leaping high, just shining really brightly in the dark of the evening. And he passed the flame to a group of young people who ran around the perimeter of the stadium, the flame streaming gently behind them as they jogged onwards. And then each member of the group received the flame to their own golden torch, and they moved forward. And in one movement, they bent down and they lowered their flames to the great cauldron before them. And they lit the flames that sent a ripple of flame right round the circle. And then that great cauldron rose upwards into just a shining light that was so much greater than those individual flames. We're like that Olympic torch, for we have been lit by the eternal fire of God. And this is our opportunity to live our lives as witnesses, but we don't stand alone. We are witnesses together with others and let our light shine more brightly because we shine together. But the truth is, you know, it's quite an awesome responsibility that God has chosen us to reflect his light in this world. We are to be bearers of light. We are to run. We are to walk. We are to pass through this dark world bearing Christ's light. We're never to present ourselves as the light, but to continually point to the light, point to Christ. Because why do we need to be witnesses? Indeed, for that matter, why did John need to be a witness? The answer is in verse 7. So that all might believe. All might believe. So that those who turn in faith to God might become just like John, witnesses to the light alongside us. Witnesses to the truth, witness to the fact that we come to God in his salvation. And when we come to him, we are sent out with a new mission and a new purpose, that we are to be lights. This is our calling, that we have been sent to be witnesses to God. We are God's sent people. And is that how you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a witness, one who sees what's going on, one who gives testimony, one who attests to the genuineness of something? Sometimes that's not an easy thing to see ourselves as. Perhaps sometimes we can see it as an optional extra, that other people can do it. Other people are better at it than we are. God's gifted them to be able to do it. They've got better words than I have. I'm not confident enough or capable enough. It's not an optional extra. It's not a bolt-on addition. It's not a choice. For in coming to faith as God's people, we enter into a relationship with God. That means we're missionaries by default. We spent the whole of November focused on mission. So let's not let that focus diminish as we move on into December, allowing the rush and the hustle and the bustle of the season to allow us to forget that in all times and in all places, we are witnesses. We are God's witnesses. We embody Christ to others wherever we are, whether we like it or not, wherever we go. Whatever we say, whatever we do, we leave an impression of the one who resides within us. Maybe there are things we can do if we don't think we're very good witnesses. Maybe there are things we can do about what we say or how we behave. Maybe we can not say things that perhaps we might otherwise. Perhaps it's stepping in to defend someone who you've just heard has been criticised by someone else. Or maybe it's by doing those things that other people wouldn't even consider doing. Or maybe it's being brave enough to speak into someone's situation, an encouraging word or a challenging word or showing God's love, whatever form that might take. Perhaps it is that we need to do something about our own personal walk with God, making time to pray more or to read God's Bible more or to meet with someone else if you're struggling and talk about that and pray with them. Week before last, Nigel Cole's area minister came and spoke about us sort of leaving the DNA of Jesus wherever we go. And we need to be doing that. We need to be leaving that unique DNA born in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit wherever we go. But not just leaving our DNA, but leaving the impression of light. Like when you open the door on a darkened room and there is a light in your hallway and the light streams through the crack of the door, shining its light into that dark room. That's the kind of impression that we need to be leaving. We need to be making a difference in the places that we go and being God's light in all situations and in all spaces. So if we are children of God, bearers of his light and life in this dark world that we live in, we need to be light. Now that might be a little spark in the darkness, like the flame of a match that lights a candle or a fire. Or it could be like a twinkling fairy light flickering on and off. It could be like a lamp that presents a gentle glow where we go. Or it might be that we need to be a bright spotlight that points in a particular direction and speaks truth into a situation. We need to be the traces of light that bear witness to God. I don't know if John thought he was a very good witness or not. We're not told what he thought about what he was doing. John isn't mentioned by name in the list of Hebrews 11 that lists the great number who were recorded in the scripture as people who were faithful. But we can look back and see that it is recorded in scripture that he was faithful. We have the evidence in scripture that he did do what God had called him to do. And after him came many others who stand as a great cloud of witnesses, who by right should inspire us to be the best witnesses that we can be. But being inspired is one thing, but doing something, actually being a witness, is something else. And especially if we look at ourselves and think we're not that good, that we don't have confidence in ourselves and in our witness to God. But there are things that we can do, because we've drawn nearer to Christ himself. Because the closer we get to Christ, the light himself, the stronger we will burn. The deeper our relationship with Christ, the better we will represent him in the world. So maybe we need to draw tight. We need to press into scripture. We need to get to know our God so that we can be better light, so we can be more faithful witnesses. And that to recognise we too are the sent ones. People who are sent as witnesses, people who point to Jesus, and people who leave traces of God wherever we go. So that in this season of Advent, we are people who are able and willing to share why we are celebrating Christmas. People who can share in this season of light that the world becomes more illuminated because of our presence among other people. So that we allow the light of God to shine more fully through us. How can we do that? Well, let's pray. Almighty God, you have called us into relationship with you. And you have also called us to be witnesses to all that you are. Your love, your care, your presence with us, and the hope of an eternal future with you. Where we fail to speak of your love, where we have failed to act against injustice or speak kindly or gently, where we have failed to love without cost, where we have not been good witnesses for you, we ask your forgiveness. And we ask that you would change us and mould us into people who cannot help but be witnesses of your love, your eternal love, your saving grace, your wonderful compassion for all people. So that we, when we meet with these people, we are people who speak of that love. Lord, change us and make us better witnesses for you. Amen. Isaiah 40, if I can find it, says this. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, say to the town of Gloucester, here is your God. The first song we sang today, the final two verses. By faith, the church was called to go in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. By faith, this mountain shall be moved and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon his name. So let us be faithful witnesses to the Christ through whom all things are possible.